Yeah, it is a good day to be in the house of the Lord, right? Man, what an awesome time of worship. You know, it doesn't matter if we have people up here or not, but you know, man, what an awesome privilege it is to enter in and to worship Him, right? So, we are in a new series. Ben kicked it off last week, is Real Together, and this is the second week that we're here today. And my message today is called Fellowship of the Believers. And what I want to do this morning is I want to look at the New Testament church and look at what that looked like in those days to live together, to be real, to follow God in their devotion and so on. So, but before we do that, let's just enter into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Father. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the privilege of edifying and glorifying you, Lord, and everything that we do, Lord. May you be honored. May you be high and lifted up, Heavenly Father. I just pray that as we enter in this morning, Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit to talk to us this morning. We welcome your Holy Spirit to convict us, to bring, shine a light on the things that we need to hear this morning, Heavenly Father. So let it not be the words that I speak, but let it be the Holy Spirit that brings conviction, that brings understanding, so that we can live in a greater manifestation of your power and ability in our lives, Lord. So we just thank you, Father, for being with us here today. We thank you for being in us, Lord. I just pray just revelation and understanding in your word this morning, Father, as we open it up. So we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being present with us. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I am starting in, we're going to go in Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. In the first service, I kind of just broke up that message from 42 to 47, but I wanted to do maybe... I won't have it up there, but I want to read first the verses, and then what we're going to do is we're going to break it apart, and then we're going to go through verse by verse through the message. So if you have a Bible, you can open that up to Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, and keep it open to there, because we're going to come back consistently. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but keep your place there. So Acts 2, verse 42 to 47 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing it and the proceeds to all as they had need. And the day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Man, what a beautiful sight. What a beautiful sight that is. Unity, all being devoted in one, and what unified them is being devoted to Christ and to surrender themselves to Him and what we're doing. You know, it's a picture that we need to talk about today, because you know what happens is if we are truly looking to Jesus, if we're coming before Him and we're surrendering to Him, and we're walking in unity together in that purpose, we will be unified, and these type of things happen in our midst because we are unified in one purpose. But you know, as a church, when we have our own agenda, we have our own things that we want to do, we're not unified, right? One is pulling this way, one is pulling that way. We're never in unison pulling towards one direction, right? So I want to go through that here this morning a bit. So in verse 42, where it starts, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers." The early church intentionally built their lives around God's word, fellowship, prayer, and a shared life. So I want to break that apart a bit this morning. What are some of the things that they were doing, and then what are some of the hindrances that can come in the way of those things? So first, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which essentially was the word of God. In Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, "Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus commanded the apostles to train up disciples after him. And so here they are starting to fulfill that mission of what God was calling them to do. And it says they devoted themselves. So what does devoted mean? Devoted means to continue steadfastly, to persist consistently, to remain committed, to give yourself continually to something. Did you notice that it's not give yourself once? It's giving yourself consistently, continually to that one thing, to be devoted, to be steadfast. It was not an occasional commitment. It was an intentional, ongoing dedication in the early church. So, you know, they didn't try to fit God into their schedule. They fit everything else into the schedule they had with God, right? And they met day by day. So you know, we're like, wow, you know, I got to go once a week to the church. But, you know, they went to church every single day. They met together every single day for prayer. And you can just feel the excitement of that, right? The excitement of being in God's presence, to be in community, and one heart pulling all in the same direction. I think what a beautiful, beautiful sight that is. You know, so we're talking about the word. You know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God. I was listening to, I don't have the name, I was just listening to this video, and it was talking about, there's some good truths in what they were saying, but what she was saying was, you know, if we don't live our lives by biblical principles, if we are not reading the Word of God, we will 100% be deceived. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a pretty strong statement. How can you say that, right? How can you know that? Maybe some people are better than others, right? And what she went on to say is that when we don't read the Word of God, when we don't have a standard that we in our lives, when we don't get our standard from the Word of God, we will be ruled by feelings. I don't feel like that's the right thing for me. I don't feel like that is the correct way to. I feel like that's a judgment. I feel like that shouldn't be the way it is. If we don't put our trust and our hope in the Word of God and what God has laid out before us, we will be deceived. So how much are we getting into the Word of God ourselves? Because it's not enough for somebody else to get into the Word of God and explain it to you. You need to get into the Word of God. And if you don't have those principles in your life, those standards in your life, the world is very easily willing to convince you of something different than what the Word of God says. When you don't read the Word for yourself, I don't care who you are, the world will take you sideways. I think that is a pretty hard statement, but how true it is. We need to know, we need to receive revelation and understanding continually from the Word of God. And it's not just us reading it by ourselves, it's us reading it by the power of the Holy Spirit to give us revelation and understanding as we take in the Word ourselves. But you cannot delegate that task and that responsibility. We ourselves need to get into the Word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. So devoted continually, again and again. Fellowship and breaking of bread. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, "Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So what are the habits that we're forming in our lives? Their habit was consistent, right? Consistently meeting together. So what are the habits? Because, you know, habits are one thing for us. And when there's no non-negotiables, you know, those things rub off on our children. They rub off on the people around us. There are things that we are doing that are not just, this is not what I'm saying, this is what I'm doing, right? We are the doers of the word, not just the hearers only. So where is our commitment, right? Are we consistently going to church? Are we consistently meeting together with the brethren? And I'm not talking just about going to church and we quickly run back out. I'm talking about gathering together as a family, as a church family, meeting together with the people that we know and that we're doing life together with, right? And even this morning, what an awesome, you know, you can worship by yourself, but it's a whole nother thing to worship with the church family, right? So we as believers are growing with people that are like-minded. And we need to continue to do that. We need to continue to be vulnerable with people around us, right? But there is things, you know, that will keep us from this particular thing, from being able to grow in genuine faith in God with each other. You know, one of the things is our facades. What is a facade? A facade is another face that we put in. On Sunday, you might open a drawer and you might say, hey, you know what? That face right there, I have it all together. I have no problems in my life. That's the face I need to wear today. Why? Because we want to be accepted. Or maybe we don't want people to know who we really are. Or maybe we, somewhere along our life, somebody hurt us and we want to keep that barrier up so that people can't know who we are so they can maybe hurt us or whatever the case might be. Facades can take many different shapes and forms. But if that is who we are, you have a barrier between you and growing in genuine relationships in the church or even around you. If that is what you do, you put a facade on. This kind of devotion only works when people stop pretending and start living honestly with God and each other. God doesn't ask us to pretend. And in fact, he had pretty harsh words to say about it. In Matthew 15, verse 8 says, "This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Who was he talking about? The Pharisees. On paper and the way it looked, the Pharisees had everything together. They were the most holiest of holiest people. But Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. Why? Because they were dead inside. They wore their facade on the outside like they were spiritually alive, but they were spiritually dead on the inside. That's part of the cost of a facade. A facade will continually keep us in death. And not in life. Jesus was continually battling this particular part. I don't want your sacrifices, I want your heart. So where are we at today? What facade are we wearing? Healing starts with honesty. Real community requires vulnerability. So we need to find someone that you can connect with. You know, I'm not saying you just come into church and you start telling every person that the things that you have going on in your life, your issues that you have. But what I'm telling you is find somebody that you can connect with. Maybe you're in a small group. Maybe you join a small group and you have, like we in our small group, we have prayer partners. Maybe that is somebody that you get together with and say, hey, I need some prayer for this. I'm struggling in this area. And, you know, within our small groups, we have confidentiality. We keep things, you know, the things that are shared, you know, you keep them confidential. All these things happen, right? We make sure that we're very diligent about that. But, you know, the thing is, what are we trying to do? We're trying to come together, and we have somebody beside us that is able to walk with us, right? That is able to encourage us, able to speak into our lives, able to know who we are so that we are able to grow in our walk with him, right? It says in James 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You know, we need to confess to one another. And what are these things? Jesus has forgiven us our sins. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So how do we come in a consistent way that we're able to grow with somebody, accountability partner or prayer partner beside us? So facades prevent real connection. If everyone hides their struggles, nobody is truly known. Nobody gets to help. Relationships stay shallow. Am I saying that we have to confess absolutely every struggle that we have? No, I don't think so. Not all the time. I think sometimes there is places we need to just get up and say, no, I am free in Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in me than the one that's in the world. And we need to sometimes proclaim it and start walking forward in power and strength and ability of knowing who we are, what our true identity is in Christ. But I can tell you, if you're struggling with the same thing week after week, month after month, year after year, you need to start walking with somebody that's able to help you, spur you on, or is able to help you in prayer, to help you to grow, to know who you are and what your identity is in Christ Jesus. And sometimes that is done through small group, through being able to walk around a table to discuss with each other questions we have, struggles we have. And through that process, sometimes you were able to work those things out. We're able to move on with our lives and able to get freedom. But I can tell you, it's not okay to stay in the same place over and over again, year after year, struggling with the same issues. We are supposed to move from one degree of glory to another degree of glory consistently, continually, always. As we stay open before God, as we continue to stay humbly before him, as we open ourselves to him, he's able to help us and to help us spur us on, right? Offense. Offense is one of the biggest things that damage unity in the church. And I can tell you, you know, like Jake and Nancy shared this morning, you know, I don't know all their struggles or whatever, but offense is a real thing. And if they battled through certain things, not just offense, but also, you know, what's the true character of God. They had to battle through that, but what was on the other side? Freedom. There was blessing. There was favor. There was an abundance of joy and peace and people around them that were able to spur them on. They were able to gather around them to help them to grow, and the power of the Holy Spirit was pushing them forward, right? What are some common areas of offense? Feeling overlooked or unappreciated. You know, this is one of those points that we all feel like we're overlooked sometimes. We all feel like we're unappreciated sometimes. But you know, and I'm not saying this, we should all appreciate the people in our lives. We should edify the people. We should praise our leaders. We should edify them. We should, our spouses, our kids, we should continue to speak words of praise to them. I'm not giving an excuse for that, but what I'm saying is, this is a great place where we need to evaluate who, for whose purpose or what are we doing it for. When we serve in a church to be praised by man, our attitudes and our hearts are in the wrong place. We should not put our faith in people and our faith in man. We need to do it as unto the Lord. We need to serve for him and his purpose and for his glory, right? He says that there will be rewards in heaven for those that serve. And in fact, he talks about how we should actually, when we pray and do all these things, we should do that in secret. We shouldn't even actually show to other people. We shouldn't make a show of it. Those things that are kept in secret, he will be rewarded in heaven, right? I'm not saying we shouldn't show our works, but we shouldn't do it for the purpose to be seen, is my point, right? So where is your faith tied to? Who should give you the praise? Miscommunication or assumptions? You know, this is, I think this is a big one, you know, and this can happen face to face, or this can happen on a text, email, or something along those lines. You know, me personally, I hate sending. It's okay to, if you're just sending an informational text or something like that, it's okay. I have a very difficult time sending a message that has to have feeling behind it or this or that, because I'm agonizing continually. Okay, what does this make it sound like? What does that make it sound like? Will they take it this way? Will they take it that way? And a lot of times people do take it this way and they do take it that way, right? And it is hard to do that. And I think even more so today, with messaging and so on, we can take things the wrong way. We take it from the wrong slant or wrong thing. And this takes a consistently needing to make sure that we're clearing up communication. Me personally, I'd rather just make a quick phone call and we can talk about it exactly the way it needs to be and blah, blah, blah. Some people are really good at texting feelings and emojis and all this kind of stuff. You know, they can communicate all the love they, you know, want to, but it's not one of my strong points anyways. So, miscommunication, assumptions, correction or accountability. You know, this is a big one. We all want to say that we're accountable, but man, do we hate being the ones that are being talked to about, hey, by the way, you know, this and this and this and this, right? So many people are out and gone because of that particular purpose. But you know, part of being a part of a community, we want to be held accountable to what the Word of God says. We want to be held accountable because what we want to do is we do not want to have a blind spot in our lives where we're walking along and it's in the wrong direction or it's in the wrong place. So we need to have people in our lives that are able to speak. And I'm not saying we take criticism from every Tom or Dick or Harry or whatever out there, you know, they come to you and they are saying this. No, we need to have trusted people in our lives that are able to hold us accountable. Trusted people that are able to speak into our lives. So I wouldn't just open this up to absolutely anybody and everybody. Of course, it says in the Word that a wise man, if he receives correction, he will grow even wiser. So is that true of us? When we receive correction, do we grow even wiser? Do we look at ourselves and say, hey, you know, actually, what you're saying is true. And maybe if it's from a person that doesn't really know you, maybe it's not true, and you actually need to reject it. Sometimes those things do happen, right? So comparison or jealousy. I mean, this is a big one, you know, because I think I've shared this before, online or all these things, Facebook, we consistently, continually always compare ourselves to somebody else. Instead of walking with God in openness, with sincere hearts, we're constantly comparing, am I as good as that person? Am I as good as that person? But that's not what it's about, right? Unmet expectations, gossip, and secondhand conversations. You know, gossip is not something that should happen within a church. And you know, gossip can happen in this way sometimes. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? I'm just telling you because we want to pray for him, right? Guys of prayer can share the information. No, we need to have sincere hearts and we know what needs to be said and not be said, right? We should not be the ones repeating negative things from somebody else. If it's a negative thing, it should not be repeated. We should be known as gossips about the positive things of other people. We as believers should, when we can, edify people. Hey, did you hear about that person? Man, they're just so generous. Wow, they just love people. I really like the way they show their love towards other people. You know, we need to be edifying people. If they're not in a room, we should be edifying them instead of dragging them down. We should be gossips of positive things about other people. Hey, did you hear that person is awesome in this? Just saying. Not sure if I find that in the Word, but I think it's probably in there. Some people become offended not because someone intentionally hurt them, but because expectations were never communicated or assumptions were made. Isn't that true? So offense will happen. I can tell you right here, right now, offense will happen. Guess what? We let imperfect people into this church. In fact, every single one of us is imperfect. You know, like somebody said, we don't have bag checkers at the door. We don't say, hey, you, yeah, by the way, leave your baggage right here at the door. Don't bring it in here. No, we all come with stuff. But we should be able to grow together. And when people come with stuff, maybe sometimes there's offense. Maybe it will happen. I can guarantee you. But we're Christians. We're supposed to have a forgiving heart and a forgiving attitude consistently, continually. You know, Peter said, hey, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And he was thinking, oh, I'm the hero. Seven times, I mean, could you do more? Jesus says, no, seven times seven. You know, what is the point? No, the forgiveness is endless. I'm not saying that if somebody's hurting you or something like that, that you forgive, yes, but sometimes you don't associate with that person if they're hurting you or doing these things, right? So the forgiveness is from our perspective. That's nothing to do with the person that is hurting somebody or doing something. Forgiveness is from our side that severs the link they have into our lives and allows us to walk in freedom. But that does not mean that we continue along with that person if they are hurting or doing those things. I hope that makes sense. You know, we are not a people that is endlessly being beaten up all the time and we just take it and we just come back for some more. There is the right way to walk about things, right? So living offended is a choice, and it's a choice from every single person here. But I can guarantee you, if you live in offense, your wall will stay up, and you will have a hard time connecting with people. You have a hard time receiving. You have a hard time because you're closed off. You have a shield around you. Hard to enter, something to enter in when things are closed, right? So forgiveness, living in freedom, allows us to be in a place where we are able to receive and we're able to walk in that freedom as well, right? Offense isolates people. You know, gotta move along here. We see this consistently. What does the lion do with the gazelles? He tries to separate one out of the crowd so that he can deal with him. He doesn't deal with a gazelle in the crowd. The lion runs and tries to separate him out of the crowd. You know, that's a beautiful picture of what, well, beautiful, maybe it's not beautiful. Maybe I'm choosing the wrong choice of words here. It's an accurate picture, I should say, of what the enemy tries to do in our lives. He tries to separate us out of the crowd so that he can essentially have his way in our lives. And sometimes when we leave with offense and we get away, we think that it's our choice, we think it's our, no, it's the enemy has been working in our hearts and minds to bring us, to bring, separate us. It's not as obvious as the lion running and separating the person, but that is essentially what happens, right? Unity requires grace and forgiveness. Real community only works when people learn to forgive and work through issues together. We have to be honest with people sometimes, and maybe it's a face-to-face conversations. And I know those things are hard sometimes, especially in this day and age. It always seems like it's getting harder and harder for people to get together face-to-face. It's a text message, it's this. But face-to-face is sometimes where things need to be dealt with and walk on with, right? Colossians 3, verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We've been forgiven much, so we must forgive much of what others do towards us. So, some practical thoughts. The enemy often doesn't destroy the church from the outside. He divides them from the inside through offense. And it's a big one. I can tell you, this is a big one. This offense will stop you from receiving altogether. You will have very limited growth in your life if you live in a place of offense. So that's why the Bible places such a strong emphasis on unity, humility, forgiveness, and protecting relationships. So, questions we need to ask ourselves. Am I holding onto offense? Have I made assumptions instead of having a conversation? Am I helping protect unity or feeding division? Is my heart still soft or soft and teachable? This is a big one. Is my heart soft and teachable? You know, I can tell when my heart is hardened a bit, and it just seems like hard to receive from the word. It means that I've hardened. Why? Circumstances of life harden our hearts sometimes. It's an active thing to constantly come before Him and keep our hearts soft and humble before the Lord so that we are able to grow consistently, right? So prayer and devotion. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. What is prayer? Prayer is connecting with God. And you know, it's very difficult to get into God's presence when we really need Him if we haven't spent time with Him. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you have received His Holy Spirit, He is in you. Greater is He that is in you than the one that's in the world. The Holy Spirit does not come and go. Why does it feel like He comes and goes? Because we haven't spent time with Him. We feel distant from Him, but He is in us. I can tell you, when you spend your time in devotion, you spend your time in prayer consistently, continually throughout the day, put your attention to Him, put your worship to Him, your attention consistently to Him, communing with Him. It's very easy. When you need Him, when you have fear come upon you or something, you're able to turn to Him and He is there. Is He not there sometimes? No, He's always there. But sometimes we have a hard time connecting with Him because we haven't spent the time with Him. We need to be communing with Him consistently. Be in constant prayer with Him. So are we devoted or just attending? Are we building relationships or staying distant? Are we protecting unity spiritually through prayer? So, you know, sometimes we have to lift our leaders up in prayer, right? We have to consistently, there's people in our lives that we need to make sure that we're lifting up and we're praying for them, for my family, our family, and all those things, right? So, you can not experience real togetherness while remaining emotionally disconnected. That is a fact. Verse 43, Acts 2, verse 43. And the awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Unity creates an atmosphere where God moves through His people with power and ability. When there's unity, I can tell you, God is eagerly waiting for a submitted heart to Him. It is not that we need to scream at God and yell to Him that He should move through our lives. He is more than willing to do that. He's looking for us to come before Him and for us to be pliable, for us to be open, so that He's able to flow through our lives with His power and His ability. The early church walked in awe, expectancy, humility, and spiritual hunger. I can tell you, we need to stay hungry. We will never know the full depth of God on this earth or even the one to come. There will always be a new facet of Him that we will discover consistently, continually. Why do I say this? If you think you know it all, if you think you know all the Word, I've read it all, I've done all this, I can tell you, come before God, be humble, allow Him to show you a new facet of who He is. Because there is deeper depths of Him that you cannot even fathom or even understand. Mark 16, verse 17 to 18 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. through this unity, through connecting with Him, through walking with Him, staying before Him, He will flow through you. Is it our power? No. It is us being faithful. It's us being walking forward. It's us laying the hands on the sick. We are have to stay in submission to Him to be able to walk this out. You know, I would just say this is, you know, the problem with us with an instant society, we always want things now. There's a depth of growth that we need to have in our lives, you know, sometimes I think I have given it all. I've submitted myself all. But then God says, what about this? Then I say, okay, I surrender that. I surrender that before you. And then He says, yeah, okay, what about that there? There's deeper levels of connecting with Him, deeper levels of understanding who He is, and deeper levels of us actually submitting ourselves in a deeper, more powerful way for Him to walk. We have to be absolute surrender to Him in order for Him to walk through our lives, right? Mark 16:20, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the accompanying signs. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where and place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Can you imagine that unity? Such unity and devotion and such submission to Him that the place they were praying in shook. We have no idea what we carry inside of us. We cannot fathom the power and ability that we have in us. We are beggars. We are living as beggars, and we are the riches of people. When we can fathom, truly put our hands to the identity we have in Christ, it will blow your mind. It will free you, and you will have such boldness and such power that is available at your fingertips. But we have to surrender. It's up to every individual person, and we come together in unity, and you can see what God will do in our lives and those lives around us. You know, in Mark 6, 4-5, it says, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. What is this? There was an attitude of we can't receive from this particular person. There was an attitude behind that. Jesus says it's very difficult. And so what is that attitude in our lives? We want God to flow through our lives, but we carry attitudes that stop Him from flowing through us. An attitude of bitterness, an attitude of closed-offness, a hard heart before Him. How can He flow through that? He says Jesus could do no mighty works there because of their attitudes and their hard hearts towards Him. Verse 44, and He and all who believed were together and had all things in common, generosity and love. John 13:35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So we are to be generous towards other people, right? Verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all that had need. You know, as a church, we need to continue to take care of the people within our house. We need to keep our eyes out and see who's struggling, who needs help. Sometimes people are too proud to ask. Sometimes people don't want to ask. They don't want to seem this way. They don't want to seem that way. I don't need help. I don't need, no. But we need to watch and see who's struggling, who needs help, who needs assistance. And we need to give, we need to share, and we need to bless people that way. Consumer Christianity asks, what can I get? Biblical community asks, how can I help? Right? Verse 46, and the day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts. Strong relationships are built consistently. You know, as a community here, as you get involved, as you get into small groups, as we start doing life together, you know, we need to make sure that we're getting into each other's homes and we are getting together and we're inviting other people to be a part of it, right? Especially if you go into the next verse, verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Two part. One, if you're new here with us, join a team. Join a small group. Stick around to be known. You that have been here for a while, enfold people that are coming in. Enfold them and bring them in along with the journey. Invite them to a barbecue. Invite them to this. Invite them to that. Invite them to a small group. Invite. We need to be an enfolding people. One, you have to let somebody know you. And the other one, we got to keep on pulling people in. God added to their number day by day. And I can tell you, when people see this unity, they see this love and joy, it's contagious. That contagion, it just spreads. You can see that in the early church. God added to their number day by day. Why? Because they've seen the power of God working in people. They've seen the love of God poured through people, right? What a beautiful sight. What a beautiful thing I think we need to aim for, right? It says in John 13, by this they will know us, right? By this they will know us, by the love that we carry. So, closing challenge. Is there offense in my heart? Am I protecting unity? Am I honoring others? Have I become critical or disconnected? Am I contributing to the kind of church described in Acts 2? It's a challenge today. But I can tell you, God wants to see freedom, more freedom in your life. He wants to see absolute. He wants to be able to have his power and ability flow through you as we see that freedom, right? So final statement here. The early church wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect people, but it was a people devoted to God, devoted to one another, and devoted to protecting unity. So join me in a prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness upon our lives. Lord, we sometimes have such a hard time connecting the forgiveness and the things that you have done in our lives. We sometimes have a hard time understanding it, Father. I just pray, let your Holy Spirit help us to see it, Lord, so we can extend that forgiveness towards others around us, that we can love others as you have loved us. You say in your word that you have shown abroad your love in our hearts. And I praise and thank you for that, Lord. I pray, just find that path to let us flow through our hearts and minds. Let your love flow from us to those around us, Father. Lord, I just pray right now for anybody here. You know, I just want to encourage you, if there's anybody here that they know that offense that they're holding, they know that thing that they're holding and that is affecting their life, I would just encourage you to just put that before God right now. Just submit that hurt, that pain to Him. That doesn't mean that whatever somebody did was right. It just means that you're severing the tie that that has in your life. So, Lord, we just put those things before you right now, Lord. And I just pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to bring healing and wholeness to those that are laying it right before you right now. That the power of your Holy Spirit bring just where that void of that hurt is, let it be filled with the power of your Spirit, Lord. That there might be complete health and wholeness emotionally, physically, spiritually, Heavenly Father. So I just pray, let your Holy Spirit bring this week, bring to our remembrance the things that we're holding, the things that we're holding that are actually poisoning us, Heavenly Father. Bring to our remembrance those things so that we can lay them down, Father. So that we can more fully walk by the power of your Holy Spirit and the power of your ability There is no shortness of power and ability that you have for us, Lord. You just want to see a sincere, broken heart before you, to be able to fill it, to be able to overflow it by your presence, Lord. So I thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Thank you for your goodness and your grace upon our lives. So I just pray, be with each one of those people here, these people, every single one of us here. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit connect with us, Lord. You direct us and drive us. Power us to walk out what you're calling us to walk out, Lord. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Just to encourage you to just keep your eyes closed. I just want to put this offer out there. If there's anybody here today that would like to give their life to God, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. God is ready and waiting to receive you back home again. Whether that's a rededication, maybe you've wandered far away from Him, and today you're wanting to come back to Him. You're like, Lord, I've been away from you for too long. I want to just encourage you. As I pray this prayer, just repeat that prayer with me, and in faith, Jesus will receive you back home again. So, God, please forgive me for all that I have done wrong. I believe you sent your Son, Jesus, to set me free. I want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. From now on, I am following you, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can have the power to change for the rest of my life. Amen. So I would just encourage you, if you were one of those people that said that prayer today, if you put your hands up, we will have an usher come to you and actually give you a package that show you your next steps. If you said that prayer and you don't want to put up your hand, come to our connections desk and we'll talk to you about what your next steps as a believer are.